Hi, my name's Steven.
Hi, I'm April.
This is the 3 Pi Squared ABA Business Leaders Podcast, where we discuss topics on how to create and grow an ethical and sustainable ABA practice.
Together, Steven and I owned a 7-figure ABA practice that provided both clinic and in-home services.
3 Pi Squared has helped over 900 ABA practices start up and expand with our comprehensive products and services geared specifically to ABA. Now, let's get to the podcast.
Today we're talking about ABA, like collaborating. So it's specifically collaborating amongst other BCBA business owners or other ABA businesses, I guess. Not all of them have they have a BCBA, but not all of the BCBAs are the owners. But anyways, just in the spirit of like collaborating, working together, helping each other out. I mean, we come on here for these conversations, which is essentially collaborating, right? But I've been talking with, consulting with some of the 3 Pi Squared clients, and several of them are asking about collaborating. Like, well, how can I collaborate? And so, what I just wanted to have a conversation today about, like, what does the collaboration look like? Do you guys ever reach out to any other local agencies, whether it's, you know, trying to come together to help a need in the community, or is it like, referring patients to each other, you know, helping out, like, right? How it can help our field, the more we collaborate and we work together, it's, you know, kind of trying to get away from that. This is mine and that's yours. Don't touch mine. You can't have mine, you know, kind of mentality. Right. And maybe even just some simple solutions of what could we do differently to help, you know, change this.
Yeah. Cause I know when we had our agency, we weren't even in network with Medicaid. So every once in a while we would have to transfer a case that we were on to an ABA company that took Medicaid, and what would happen with us is they would just, no, we're not talking to you, we're not collaborating with you, I don't care what you did.
They didn't want our data, they didn't want our treatment plans, right? They didn't want information about our kid.
It's just like, how do we, like, why, right? Like, I'm not gonna come in and you're not doing anything that much different than us that I'm gonna steal some kind of secret, right?
So that's what I just wanted to have a conversation on today. It was about collaborating amongst other ABA owners and other practices, like starting out in your area, and then like how can we, you know, because it like can just start with just reaching out to your neighbor practice, and maybe you guys can get together and do something fun. I don't know, you know.
Honestly, this is just in the spirit of full transparency. I didn't want to collaborate with anybody when I first started, because I thought most of them sucked. And that's the God's honest truth. Because they were, it was very much just exactly what you said. Oh, we're right. This is how we're going to do it. We don't care about your data. We don't care. And it was very, very obvious very quickly that it was it was their way or no way. So I kind of isolated myself for a long time because I was like, well, that's okay. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. I've now found more business owners that I collaborate with that are not local to me than I do local. Texas is so saturated in ABA that I have a couple people that I will work with from different companies that they're more on, and we do it for referral basis. And there's still some that I would never refer a child to. And then there's some that I would be like, yes, this is the person. If we can't serve you, this is who I would refer you to. I will say that they've gotten better. And I think that's part of maybe the positive side of some of the companies going more private mergers, because from a business standpoint, they are more cognizant of the need to refer and be able to work together in that coordination of care type situation. So, it's gotten a little bit better, but I have to tell you, most of the people I collaborate with are like the panel people I've met on the panel, people, even Steven, you you gave a woman my name and we've talked, we hit it off and it was great. And we're going to continue to talk. And then just kind of networking on other like Alignable and things like that. That's where I've started. But it seems like there's nobody that's local. It still seems great, you know.
I think it's definitely taken a turn now that there's been a lot of PE-backed companies, right? Because I guess years ago, probably when we all first started, a lot of it was BCBA owned. And even then it was, this is kind of my baby, stay away from my baby. We don't want to collaborate. We don't want to give any information. We don't want to share clients. We don't want to make referrals. These are ours. This is we're growing. And that's kind of how it's always been. And I think I've met a handful of people from around here, not, you know, we're talking like 45 minutes away, that I do collaborate with, but not really close. They kind of still have that mentality. But the ones that have been really close now have been bought out. And I don't always feel comfortable making the referrals to those big agencies, because at the end of the day, like, my name is still on it, right? So it's, yeah, Brooke Schneider referred me here. And if they happen to get a BCBA that's brand new and doesn't always know what they're doing, then it's still me that made that referral, right? So if I'm going to make a referral, I'm going to make a referral to Mallory, because I know that she's a solid BCBA and she runs a solid practice. So it's going to be a name. It's going to be a name. So I think it's also that shift in the way the field is moving. So that collaboration piece is a little bit sticky. Now, when I make a referral to my friend Bridget, who's out here, you know, about 45 minutes away, I'll make a referral to her practice because I know she's running a solid practice and it's ran, you know, just as good, if not better than mine. And I can say that with confidence. But the ones that are right around here, they don't want to refer to me. We don't want to refer to them. And it's kind of like, this is ours. This is mine. It's, you know, I don't know. It's, everyone's just kind of staying in their box. And if they lose a client, they don't want to give up the treatment report because they're angry that they've lost that client. And no matter how many times we say, well, that treatment report belongs to the family, they'll say, oh, well, we got to get this. And the parents will get the runaround too. It's not so collaborative anymore, you know, what it used to be. And it's really sad. It's a really sad turn.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting to hear you say that it's not so collaborative anymore, because I've also heard from others in their field that they feel like it's never been collaborative. and they're like hoping that maybe one day we can collaborate. And so it's like, it's really interesting too, because also I would, you know, if I were to take data on this, something important information I would gather was like, how many years have you been in the field? And like, what, or maybe even what years have you been in the field? Because, and maybe even what state have you been located in during those years? Because I think that would be also important. Are you in Florida? Are you in Texas? Are you in California? Or are you like in, I don't know, what's a random, Iowa? I don't know, some random place. What is the one that's barely just starting ABA? They're really having trouble getting, it's one of the middle of the country,
yeah,
states.
I can't remember now.
Anyways, and so they're just like they don't have any other ABA providers to collaborate with within like a three hour drive. And they're doing a lot of telehealth because out of necessity. But that's interesting to get lots of different perspectives. Something that I'm hearing a lot is like, well, how would we collaborate? Because I am hearing more and more people are wanting to collaborate, especially with those in their state, maybe not necessarily their town, but those in their state. And a lot of the driving factor here is like, okay, well, insurance, right? So, okay, if we work together on what rates we accept, or working together to like lobby for some of these causes, like for the rates, essentially. But then also everyone's really talking about, everyone that I've talked to about this are really looking at like outcome of like quality of services. Like, what are you like really big? There's like the sense of curiosity that I'm starting to see of like, well, how are you doing it? Like, this is how I'm doing it. It's working or not working for me. I want to learn more about. Now, some of these are some of the newer business owners, and that curiosity is there anyways because they're new business owners. I don't know. But so what would you guys think would be like the first step to start collaborating? Or do you agree that we should be collaborating?
I think that, yes, we should collaborate for sure. And I think that it really just takes one person to want to open that up. And fortunately for me in the state of Washington, the WABA, Washington Association for, you know, Applied Behavior Analysis, the leadership there has done an incredible job of starting to get collaboration underway. And they have a meeting once a month that you can join. Do a lot of people show up? Not as many as I would like, right? But, you know, and I've been to a couple of them and it's been really, really great. I think that the only thing that is kind of a struggle is that I feel like some things for collaboration are a little bit more taboo than others, right? I feel like some of the things that we talk about, not necessarily just in those meetings, but yeah, it is more of, you know, maybe rates and stuff. Well, some of the things that I need to collaborate on are different, right? And so, and I don't know necessarily because of pride sometimes, like that's a very vulnerable thing for me to say, but because of pride sometimes it gets in the way and I don't want to admit sometimes that I need help. And I know I'm not the only BCBA. Like I know I'm not the only BCBA that feels that way, right? Because I think that once we get the four letters behind our name, we're supposed to have all the answers, right? So people look at us and think that we're supposed to have all the answers. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like I wasn't born with that name. I wasn't born with those four letters. You know, I am dedicated. I think we all need to normalize more of this idea of like, we came into this field and we got those four letters and we're dedicated to a life of learning, right? It will never stop. We won't ever be able to stop. So I think sometimes, yeah, I think we need to collaborate. I want to collaborate more. I mean, Jen and I talk when we can, but I also think that that is a hindrance for collaboration, right? We don't make time for it. We, you know, it's difficult to make time for it with all, you know, with all the other things that we have to do. So maybe it needs to be like a requirement, you know, like our CEUs, like you have to, you know, have so many CEUs of collaboration with other BCBAs. I think that it would be really, really helpful, but I think it definitely needs to happen more for sure. For sure.
I agree with Mallory. I mean, even though, you know, what I said at the beginning, but still, I miss it. When I collaborate with people, I feel so, it's a cathartic thing, you know? And I think that sometimes we're missing the point. We're not trying to collaborate to steal each other's ideas or whatever. We're really genuinely trying to support each other and the frustration of, you know, running a business, dealing with insurance companies, worrying about our team, worrying about our kids. You know, a lot of the collaborations that I do, we hardly ever talk about ABA. We talk about running a business and how can we do that? You know, how can we do that together? How can we help make great outcomes for our kids, but take care of our team too? You know, how do we fight through the crappy payouts we have to deal with, but still provide what our team needs and still be able to run the company and keep your doors open because you've got all these lives that are dependent on you. And so I've always craved the collaboration. It's just that I think everybody goes in so guarded that we're trying to steal each other's intellectual property, which we're all doing ABA. So like, what are we stealing, you know?
I think that's a good point too, because I think a lot of it goes back to that pride and that guarding, right? It's like, I reached out to Steven. I'm like, the past 2 years, I've kind of restructured our entire company. And I've built our administrative staff on just two of us, right? Because I kind of went through the thing where I had five of us that have kind of turned into administrative staff. And one of my staff left, she was on maternity leave. So now there was two of us left and I restructured everything. And I reached out to Steven, I'm like, I want to rewrite an employee manual. And I'm like, he's got it, right? Like, why am I going to reinvent the wheel when someone else has it? But if you reach out to another business owner, it's like, oh no, this is mine. This is my baby. And it's like, they all say the same thing, right? Like I would never have thought to include some of the things that Steven has in his, but it's like, it's there. Why not share it with another business owner if it's going to help, right? Exactly. It's, and it like takes us out of his box.
They're going to put all of that in that book.
Right.
Like, it's not, it's not a book that's exclusive to you. This is like, good practice.
Yeah. And that's why Stephen, that's why the manual is like a million pages long, because it is like, what do you call it? Like the biggest collaboration or whatever.
Yeah. Like I've been coining it now as it's the largest ABA collaboration group in the entire country. Right. Like, running an ABA practice comes with its unique set of challenges.
Absolutely. And while you're focused on providing the best care, it's essential to have solid foundations for your practice's operations.
That's where our company policy manual comes in. Designed specifically for ABA practices, it's your comprehensive guide to setting clear expectations and procedures.
It covers everything from your detailed job descriptions to how to handle unexpected situations that might arise in your practice.
This isn't just any manual. It is tailored with ABA practices in mind, ensuring that you're prepared for both day-to-day operation and the unexpected.
And the best part? It's fully customizable. You can adapt it to fit your practice's specific needs and culture, making sure it works for you and your team.
Don't let administrative uncertainty slow you down. With our company policy manual, you'll have peace of mind to focus on what you do best, helping your clients thrive.
Head over to 3PiSquared to get your copy. Start building a stronger, more organized practice today.
Oh, and don't forget, it comes with free updates. We have 1,000. I counted them 3 days ago. We have 1,152 customers, and most of them are using some of the handbooks, right? Some of them have gotten consulting or rate negotiation, but the vast majority of them are handbook owners. And so we're taking all of this feedback and then distributing it to everyone.
Yeah,
right?
So anytime someone has an issue and they talk to Stephen about it, like, he adds it for everybody. For everyone. I'm like, what if we all did that?
And the other...
No, it would be so much better. And it'd be so less competitive.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the other thing that we do, right, is like, when we help with credentialing, I don't do Medicaid, right? I hate Medicaid. I hate credentialing for the most part. But like, if somebody needs help with credentialing on Medicaid, I'll reach out to everybody in that state and say, hey, I've got somebody that needs some help. And within, like, I'll send that out, and within 5 to 10 minutes, I've got 10 people saying, yeah, I'll absolutely just share their information, which is amazing, right? And so, like, it's how do we shift that to, like you're all saying, like the what I often say is, these aren't your clients. They don't belong to you. They're a human being, and they need help. And all of you went to school for so long, and all you want to do is help, right? And so if we kind of shift our focus to, how can I help my community? How can I help the speech therapist down the road? How can I help the developmental pediatrician? How can I help my fellow BCBA? Maybe we'll all be better off, right? And this is something that, like, I say this all the time, and then we have competition, right? There are people that are consulting with ABA companies, and I still, as I'm telling a BCBA, go down the street and talk to this BCBA. I see this next consultant, and I'm like, oh, he's taking my, right? And so I have started forcing myself to reaching out to other consultants and saying, look, there's more than enough work to go around here. How can we help each other help other people, right? And so I think, you know.
You're even making a power panel podcast.
Trying to make a power panel, but it's been difficult. It's, the same thing, right? Like, it's, oh, well, Steven's a competitor. I don't know if we should talk to him. Talk to me, right? I'm a pretty likable guy, I think. and you know, we're all here for the same reason. We've seen the struggles. This is why you guys come up, I think, is, right, we've all seen the struggles. It's stressful. You get burnt out. You get tired. And you just want to help. And so coming together, I think you've all said it too, like coming to these recorded, very personal, vulnerable situations where we're going to put ourselves on the internet are wonderful, and they're helpful, right? So, like, if more people could open up to that, I think it would be better for the community and better for everyone involved, right?
Yeah. I think it helps us get back to our sweet spots, right? I don't know about the other states around, but Illinois had just passed a new paid time off law that started in January. So, you know, I had asked around a few business owners, like, what are you going to do? Like, what's your new PTO policy? And so many people around were so guarded. Okay, I'm not going to say our PTO policy. Why do I care? I just want to make sure at the end of the day, like, we're not overpaying, or we're going to get in the red. We're not underdoing like what other companies are doing. I just want to get an idea of where we're at, right? But everyone is so guarded, and it's just, I want to either keep our policy as is because it still conforms with what the new law that's passed, and get back to my sweet spot and, you know, figure out the percentage of being the business owner and also being a BCPA. And it's just, let's all get back to our sweet spot. And if we can help each other get back to our sweet spots of why we went into this field, that's what we need to do. Like, okay, here's my PTO policy. This is what we wrote up. Yep. Great. Let's help each other get through it. These are some ideas.
And the interesting thing is if you talk to any other business industry, they collaborate.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're competitors. My husband, I ask him all the time, you guys collaborate with your, he'll talk about his competitors. I'm like, but you collaborate with them? And he goes, yeah, we do. And we know we're competitors, and sometimes it may cost us, and sometimes it costs them. But at the end of the day, we know we're not a one size fits all company, just like they aren't. Mm-hmm. And it shows better business practice than not collaborating, because it shows you're willing to think outside of yourself and not be so egocentric and go, no, you know what, we can't help you, but this person can. But what you've done is you've left a good taste in that client's mouth. That's like, you know what, this is a place that could help me, and I could potentially get them down the road. So instead of looking at it as like Steven saying, you know, these are not our clients. We don't get to make claims to them. They're human beings. If we walk out and I refer somebody to somebody else, I know in my heart that I was not able to help them, but I'm going to try to find somebody that can help them. And at least at the very least, they know that I'm a place that they could come to for a resource. And then yeah. Who knows down the road what that's going to turn into. You know, I think sometimes we get so focused on the ABA that we forget there is a business side to it. And the business side is driven by a lot of other factors that are not the actual service we provide. And good business practice is very different. And that was something I had to learn when I went from a practitioner to a business owner. Because I didn't want to muddy, I wanted to make sure that I would never turn into that business, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think I said this before, I was never going to have a handbook. I was never going to have all these things. I didn't want to be like that. But the reality of it is we need that. We need those guardrails. We need to understand, and our people, for them to understand and feel confident in what they're doing, they need to have the system so that they know what's in place. And mm-hmm. I don't see why that's a problem to share with other people. Like, yeah, if you're struggling with this, this is what we've done.
Right. And that's what I felt like. There's other business owners that keep that so guarded. Right. Which is why I was like, I'm not going to go rewrite this entire handbook. I'm going to get Steven's handbook. And then we have an in-service next week. I made like a Cliff Notes version of just like the main standard operating procedures, you know, the time off one, because for some reason that's always questionable, you know, the non-billable, if a client cancels, that's always a big question. Like the main ones, I made Cliff Notes versions, then operating procedures, we're going to present that. And if somebody were to ask me, great, here it is. You want to use it? Okay. Like we're all trying to help each other because we're in this for the business, right? Because that's what we did. But I don't know about you guys. I started it too, just to provide quality of care, because we're still BCBAs at heart, right? We're not making millions and billions of dollars in this field. It's, let's just do this, do the systems, provide quality of care, and get back to our sweet spot, which we went to school for. So
I think though that it's great that we're even, you know, we're talking about this so much too, because the new BCBA is coming in, right? I mean, I know, like, they share, people are honest, like, you know, imposter syndrome. Like, we feel like, you know, when we first come in, but it's like the ones who are seasoned, right? I think I'm included in that group now, because I've been in the field for so long. I'm really old. I see, you know, I have the wrinkles to prove it. But I feel like we need to model this for them, that it's okay to ask for help. It's okay. I think some of my attitude too, when, you know, I was first starting, it's like, I didn't have this attitude of, I can learn something from everyone, right? Mm-hmm. There is, I may not I may not agree with every single thing in somebody's practice, but I know that if I sat down with them and collaborated with them, that I would come away with something, right? Mm-hmm. Something that they're doing different, something that I like better, that I'm like, oh yeah, that's way better than what I, you know, what I do. Like, I'm gonna implement that. Yeah, I think we need to do a better job of modeling it for them, which, I mean, we are right here, right? I mean,
and things we've forgotten about.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Like there's things like we've learned about, and I took my test so long ago, right? But when I put myself back on the floor with one of our newer BCBAs, she like pulled out an ABA reversal design, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is genius. And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I don't know. Like, when was the last time you actually, like, I actually heard about that other than like studying on the exam? Cause we're so used to like writing programs, running trials. And I'm like, you're a genius. And she looked at me like, are you okay today? But it's like, we forget about these things and we learn so much more from just collaborating. And it is so important. But that's within the company. It's not like I can say, hey, you know, hey, Jennifer, can I observe you working with one of the kids? Because I just kind of want some new ideas. You know, she might be open to it, but Sally down the street would be like, why do you want to observe me working with kids? You know, it's like that. That's a harder part. And it's sad, but like that's where it is. But I do feel like once you've reached this side of our career, this older, more experienced side, we don't like get to stay in that fun part where we used to be. You know, that's kind of why I shifted my brain to, you know, 40% is the business, 60% is keeping me on the, you know, on the floor, collaborating with the team, working with the kids, having fun. You know, I taught one of the kids, I just had to play catch the other day, and I had more fun doing that than I think I've had in years, just teaching them how to play catch, because I was like, oh, I haven't done this in so long. But it's, you know, just kind of, you just have to do that. But the part is the collaborating with other business owners to kind of keep us in our sweet spot and not hung up on writing policies and procedures and
you know,
rewriting 1,000 company manual pages.
And what I think is interesting is when you get a new business owner, you can almost pinpoint exactly where they're at in their thought process, right? You're like, oh, I remember being there. Okay. And sometimes you can share information and you'll share it and you can hear the uncertainty. Yeah, I don't know. And it's like, it's okay. Give it about 2 more years. If you're still in business, you're going to have a conversation and be like, okay, I know what she was talking about. Cause I mean, it's such a learning curve, right? And it's just, you don't know what you don't know when you, just like as a BCBA, as a practitioner, you don't know what you don't know. And running a business, it's never what you thought. I swear to you, if I would have known what I know now, I do not know if I would have ever started a business. I can honestly tell you that.
I think I've said it before, though. Ignorance is bliss, right?
It is. And I was just like, yeah, I'm just going to hire people who care about kids and I'm going to teach them about ABA and it's going to be so wonderful. And wow, talk about a kick in the pants of what reality is on that. But it's been fun. And you know, Brooke, I missed working with the kids for a long time, but I have found such a passion in running the business now. And I enjoy it so much. And I'm so excited that I want to build the business to bring in the BCBAs and the team that want to work there. That's where I have kind of reshifted. It took me a while. It was kind of depressing for a while. I was like, oh, I thought I was going to get to work with all these kids. And now it's like, oh no, I don't. I don't. But I do enjoy, and I've kind of restructured the company here in the last couple of years, and I've immersed myself into and really embraced my role as the business owner to make it the best company I can make it, so that the kids are successful and the team is happy and they're growing and they're learning. And, you know, I'm older now, and it's like, I'm to the point where I'm not looking at 30 more years of work. Thank God. Yeah. But I want to... I want to pass it to the next generation of this is how beautiful this science is and what it can be and the outcomes you can get if this is how, if you do it correctly, if you do it with integrity, if you do it with showing that the kids are first and it's about the child. It's not about, you know, it's not about money. It's quality over quantity. If you treat your staff like this, if you have a servant leader mindset, these amazing things can happen in the lives of these children and your team. And that is fun and exciting to me now. It took me a while to get there because Lord knows. But the collaboration part of that has, I think, come from collaborating more with other business owners and just also knowing, yeah, it's also lonely at the top. And yeah, there's times where you're just like, I want to throw the towel in, but the only thing keeping me going is knowing that I need these kids. I need these kids to be okay. And Lord knows it is definitely not about the money.
Right. Right. But, and I think that that's where collaborating with your staff, you know, collaborating with other business owners is key, right? Because that's where I've really taken that shift. So instead of me just sitting down with my staff and having meetings, you know, across the table, what's going on? Where do you feel like we could help you? It's now in situation. I'm with you, watching you work with the kids. I'm down on the floor, modeling it with you. We're going to role play. And then they feel more validated. They feel, okay, you know, the owner does care. The owner wants to do this. And then, okay, so now I've met with you this month. And if it's more, then we'll have across the table. We'll do more role playing. And that's kind of where I feel like there's got to be that balance, right? And that's where that ownership and that does come in. But I feel like the new business owners are coming in hot and they're stepping away from everything right away. And that's one thing that we've done a lot of interviews, and then they've said, well, I don't really see the owners so much. You know, they're always off and I don't see them. Or recently it's been, my BCBAs have been all remote. And so maybe I'll see them once a month. There's been like a lot of shift in that too. So that collaboration piece has been missing since this field's kind of turned to remote BCBAs and remote supervision, which has been another barrier, you know, to this too. So it's definitely, you know, finding, I can't see myself getting on the floor playing catch for the next 30 years either. I don't think I can get off the floor in the next 10 years.
That floor is getting pretty far down there, by the way.
The floor is getting very far down there.
Higher,
so. Yeah. I'm definitely finding myself like sitting on the kids' tables because I can't sit down in the kids' chairs anymore. I'm like, Don't copy me. You can put me as like one of the text pictures of like the ex, you know, like don't do this, do this. That's been another, you know, hindering to collaboration too, is this remote supervision that the BCBAs pop in once a month. And that's the number one question I get during interviews too, from the new BCBAs or new RBTs, are, you know, what's the supervision like? Are your BCBAs here? You know, what's the percentage I'm going to be getting? And I don't, you know, that's hard too. We have all our BCBAs are on, you know, on site, I'd say 90% of the week.
I think the collaboration though too also goes beyond, and I know we had the one talk where Alexia came on as the SLP, but it's just like in collaboration in general, right? It doesn't just stop at the ABA. Like, we need to be collaborating with the therapies that our clients are also accessing in other places, because if we're not collaborating, yeah, I mean, we're all doing different things, right? We're not working towards the common goal. We're not working towards what's best for this client. And, you know, I had an IP yesterday and it was awesome. I think there was like 12 people in the room, you know, not including the parents. It was like, this is a team for this child, and everybody is trying to work on the same thing. And even if we hadn't, you know, spent a lot of time together over, you know, the years, I've seen some of these people, not just with this client, but I've seen them with other, you know, with some other clients that I'm serving. And we all know, like, okay, we're all working together and this is what we can bring to the table. You know, and I think that it has been improving over the years. When I first came in, we weren't willing to collaborate with other, you know, therapies, speech, OT. I think it's definitely gotten better. But yeah, it does go beyond even, you know, just ABA. But I do have several providers in my area that, I mean, we text back and forth. One of them just yesterday is like, hey, have you ever fired anyone on the spot? I'm like, nope, and I wouldn't recommend it. And she was like, what, you know, why? And, you know, in my head, it's like, this is my thought process, right? But it was great. I mean, she felt comfortable enough to text me and be like, hey, have you ever done this? And just to be able to have that quick, like, yeah, no, I wouldn't do that. Like, or let's have a conversation about it later. I wouldn't do that, right? You know, I wouldn't do that, but let's have a conversation about it later. I think it's important to have those. And no, I mean, I feel bad because she's always wanting to get together. And we haven't made that happen, but we text regularly, right? But I definitely feel like this also is encouraging me and prompting me to.
I like to hear that because it's, you know, so someone in those shoes of needing to fire somebody, like in that position of, should I fire this person on the spot? That's also like almost like letting the cat out of the bag that, oh, I'm doing something wrong, right? Like I must be doing something wrong because I have this employee that I need to fire. So like that would be almost like an acknowledgement that I don't have this perfect little ABA company, right? And so I'm going to be vulnerable and reach out and ask for help, right? Yeah. And so I guess that's like there's more. We've named a lot of barriers, and there are probably, we could sit here and name numerous barriers to collaboration. But I wonder if we could take that step to...
Yeah, I was going to ask a question.
Oh, you're going to ask a question before I take that step?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I think it is on that step.
Oh, okay. But what's one thing? What's one small thing? Because like when we're looking at like a big goal, right? Whether it's in our own like health journey or we're trying to learn a new skill or, you know, we're kind of in the business here of teaching new things and breaking things down into small steps. Like what would be like the first little tiny step in the right direction that any ABA business owner out there could do, that we could all do?
Yeah. I'm just wondering, like, I think Jen said it, like, how do you know, like if I'm going to refer someone to somebody else.
Collaboration isn't just about referrals. I know,
but just let me take this and then you can pick it apart.
Okay.
So like how do I know that I can trust that this agency will have the best intentions for this child like I would, right? Or family or whatever. So like my thing would be like, what questions could you ask a local agency that would make you feel comfortable to refer a child? And maybe then we would break down some of those barriers so that we would be more open to collaboration. Yeah, maybe maybe their goals are a little bit different than mine, but I understand where they're coming from. So I can trust that they're going to have, you know, they're going to do the best for the child based on what I've seen, what they've told me, right? So almost like a smell test, right? We do this often when we're interviewing billers. Like we'll ask them a series of questions and we just to see what they say, right? No, there's no wrong answers, but there are absolutely wrong answers. And so like, do they understand what 97153 is? Do they know what concurrent billing is? Do they understand the differences between BCBA, BCBAD, BCABA, RBT, BT? Do they know that some funders require 4-year degrees on tax, right? So just talking to them and getting those questions answered can make a determination of whether I'm going to talk to this person any further. I'm just wondering if there's a list of questions that we could all come up with that maybe is an icebreaker, but also drops the guard down for both so that there is open collaboration.
I'm thinking like a secret diner type of person, right? Like,
yeah.
Like we go in as like secret parents and kind of check out how they are.
Yeah.
Like, I've thought about that, but I feel like I would be so mad if somebody did that to me.
Don't you ever feel like people do that to you when like you're interviewing them?
Yeah.
Like, are you coming from like another company?
It's like, where's that hidden camera?
Right.
I think that honestly, I've started to try to get outside of myself and be like, it's kind of scary too, I think, to take that leap, right? And because you also are also looking at that fear of rejection in a way. Like I'm trying to extend. I'm not trying to do anything underhanded. I genuinely just want for you to get to know me and me get to know you, so that we can work collaboratively, and there's a new provider that has moved into our area, and I keep thinking I'm gonna get the nerve to call her and say, hey, would you like to go get a cup of coffee? Because I'd really love to learn more about what you offer and what we offer, because sometimes we're not gonna offer the same things. And I would love to trust the person I'm gonna put my name on to refer. You know, because I'm with you, Brooke. I'm not referring them to a company. I'm referring them to a specific person, and my name is on that. You know, like, I don't want to be the person that's like, oh, Jennifer Helton always just recommends all these people and none of them are worth their salt. That's not, I'm very much like you too in that respect, Brooke. But I feel like it's kind of got to be personal for us too. Like, get if they say no, they say no. But don't let that stop me from doing it, continuing to maybe reach out genuinely. Say, listen, I'm really not trying to do anything nefarious here. I really genuinely would love, we're in the same area. There's so many kids we could help. And if we're working together, imagine the impact we could make as opposed to trying to work apart.
And I think that says a lot too, right? If somebody is willing to say, yeah, that's an awesome idea, let's do that, then that says a lot to their character. If they totally blow you off or say, no, I'm not interested, then that says a lot to them too, right? I know, like, my friend who lives, you know, 45 minutes away, she did the same thing out there and had a handful of therapists out there, you know, go to it. I couldn't attend to it because I have my kids that I have to get to at the evening. But she had a group of people that showed up to it. I mean, I'd be willing to do a tester out here and see who would show up, and let's just all get together. You know, all the providers out here, just get together and just kind of see how they are. And you can tell a lot from personality and how they do talk about behaviors, and, you know, see how does this kind of mesh. And if they blow you off, they blow you off.
I think, Stephen, kind of to your question too, though, I think somewhat like needing to check myself though, and then also remind myself, like, even if I think, you know, is this person that I'm going to refer these clients to, I'm going to provide the best. So it's a little bit subjective too though, right? Because like, I think I know what's best for this client, but the reality is that another provider may actually know better, right? I mean, and we have to recognize that. And so, you know, yeah, I think we just need to be careful about when we do refer people or clients to other companies, and just, you know, try to do our best, but also just remember too, that like, you can give them a handful of names that you know in the area, right? But they also can look up their insurance, right? They're, you know, and see what other providers there are. I think that from a owner standpoint too, like, that is something that weighs heavily on me. But the reality is I can't be responsible for every single client that comes through my practice, because if I do, I will be bound to them for the rest of their lives, right? Yeah. Like, at some point, like, I have to trust sometimes when I don't know the providers that I'm referring to. And eventually, right, I'm going to have to refer my clients out to them if, you know, if I can't serve them anymore, you know, and that's okay. But yeah, being a little bit more humble for me and just knowing, like, yes, I feel like I know what's best for this client. I've invested, I've seen the growth, I know the parents really well, but also remembering that sometimes I'm limited. What I can provide is limited, and being able to say, you know what, Jennifer might actually be able to help you guys a little bit better than I can, you know, it's something that we need to normalize a little bit more, I think. I think it's hard. It is subjective though. Like, I know best. Well, how do we know? How do we know, right, that we know best? Do we have data? Do we have data on it?
I think it's okay and like and very humbling. And maybe it speaks to, we've been around the block a couple times in this field. But, you know, I've been with the kiddo now for many, many years. And he went to camp for the first time, overnight camp, I think 2 years ago. Mom was all stressed out about it. I internally was stressed out about it, but externally I was like, no, it's okay. It's probably best for him. Let's get another set of eyes. You know, there was like an agency out there that provided ABA support, and there was OTs and everything there. And they, I forget what it was, but came up with such an easy barrier to one of his behaviors. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I didn't even think about that. And it's just that extra set of eyes, that new set of eyes, that fresh set of eyes is sometimes so much better, right? Because we're seeing this kid for so long that sometimes it's okay to refer out or to ask for collaboration or to ask another professional in the field, hey, can I just get your thoughts on this? I've just been with them for a long time. I think that's where that collaboration piece comes in. But I feel like we should do a panel on like really new, fresh BCBAs. And, you know, we can't say we're old.
I was just going to say, don't say old.
We can't say old.
Seasoned
therapists. And like, here we are, ask us questions, right? Because we have been around the block and we have kind of dealt with a ton of different issues. And, you know, we've kind of done whack-a-mole for a long time. Like that would be like such a cool panel. And we have done this and it's okay. It's okay to say, yeah, this has knocked us down. We have gotten up from it. This is what we've dealt with. This is what we've done. I don't know. I think that would be like a cool one too.
You're welcome to go ahead and head out, Jennifer. We really appreciate you being here. But I'll just kind of end on, like, this is just the beginning of, and I know that we get together and we get really passionate about all the topics that we talk about because that's why we choose those topics. But I think especially this one, this is like a long-term, like, let's pace ourselves, like, marathon, right? Because, it's just the beginning. We just really want to get the conversation going, get it started, and get everyone like thinking about it. Even just like asking if, you know, those of you listening and watching right now, just asking yourself like, okay, well, what is my why, right? Why am I doing this? Like getting like, what is my sweet spot? Like, do I even know, right? And, you know, maybe like challenge yourself to do something uncomfortable. I don't know. A few of you guys follow my personal accounts, but I talk about choosing hard all the time. And, you know, so maybe like think about something that you need help with and choosing hard and reaching out to someone, another BCBA, doesn't have to be your neighbor or BCBA, anyone. And maybe saying, hey, this is something I'm struggling with. Can we talk about this? How have you handled the situation? Or do you recommend a good book to read or whatever, right? I think those could be some things. And then even asking yourself, like, what can I do to help my local ABA community, even like on state level, right?
Sure.
You know, what's one small step that I can make to, you know, take some action? But we will be continuing this conversation and running with it. Yeah. But thank you guys so much for being here today and offering all of your words of wisdom. And Brooke, I've already written down your idea. I'm taking it, and I will be planning a live Q&A at some point with new panel, you know, like a panel type thing with like newbies and
can we call it Ask the Oldies?
Oldies? Oh my gosh. We'll have to do something fun like that, right? Yeah, exactly. There you go. I love it. All right, guys. Thank you so much, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Hopefully it was helpful. If you would like to gain access to this entire video and actually our entire library of videos, please join our ABA Business Leaders membership. You can find that at www.3pisquare.com.